As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Friday, October 1st. Nice to flip the calendar over to October. Feels a little more like football season once we do that. Derek Van Riper in today for Michael Beller, along with Vic Tafer and Zach Jackson. It is our week 4 picks show as we break down the 15 remaining games on the slate. And it's going to be fun. I'm playing the role of Michael Beller, making a lot fewer picks than Beller ordinarily does. So things will be a little bit different, but Vic and Zach are here to guide you through as they typically do each and every week. So let's get right at it, guys. Let's start with the 1 o'clock Eastern kicks and begin with the Washington football team on the road as a 1.5-point favorite against the Falcons. Over under sitting at 47.5 in that game. What's your bet that you like in that game, Zach?
Well, this is a tough one. So I would just say, you know, if you didn't win in September, just up your bets in October. but this is not a game that I'm doing here. It's obviously two teams that are struggling. You know, Atlanta finally gets on the win column last week, but did the Giants give it away for the second straight week? Yeah, probably. You know, I expect better from the Washington defense, so I lean Washington in this game. But, you know, offensively, they've struggled, and that's going to happen when you have a young quarterback, when your running back's been injured. When, you know, it's hard to get confidence in this league. So without any real strong votes here, I'll take Washington.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a coin toss game, and therefore I'll go the other way. I'll take Atlanta. I expect more out of Matt Ryan, so like, I'm not been really impressed with the Washington defense either. But I think Matt Ryan's got to play better. I mean, I think it seems to have weapons, you know, enough weapons to do better. So I'll lean with the Falcons.
Now, I'm a man of few words on this show, but the rundown I wrote, reluctantly Falcons,
yes,
because this is a game I really would not want to play. I think these are two teams I'm still trying to get a read on. If Washington plays well up front, that could wreak some havoc on Matt Ryan and that Falcons offense. And I don't know what is going on with Arthur Smith and his decision-making as a head coach. I don't know if he's in over his head or if he's just kind of finding his way or if it's a little bit of both. So that makes me very hesitant to bet on the Falcons, but that they're at home and getting 1.5, that was enough for me to lean in that direction, but definitely not a strong game for any of the three of us, I think, going into this week. Let's go to the Texans and Bills. The Bills, 17-point favorites and kind of the consensus, use them if you still have them, survivor pick for this week as well. Over-under in that one sitting at 47. Which side of this one are you on, Vic?
I'm going with the Bills. I'm laying the big points. I think the Bills obviously lost that first week, but now they're kind of rolling. They won pretty easily last week. You see why everyone's so high on them, the Josh Allen, the defense. Emmanuel Sanders has been a good at it. So, yeah, I'll lay the points. The Texans, I don't really think they're very competitive going forward. So I think they had some nice fluky moments early on, but I'm going with the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy pass for me. Because we're picking every game here, I'm taking the points. It's just a ridiculous amount of points for an NFL game. It's also, there's also a reason, multiple reasons it's that high. But it's funny you mentioned Survivor, Derek, because if you have the Bills, you can use them. Well, if you use the Bills in week one, you're out, right? So probably if you avoided that trap, you do have the Bills. And as you look at the board, you know, in most Survivor pools, you got to think they're going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, totally makes sense. They were my pick on our Survivor show earlier this week. I'm laying the points. I think I'm just looking at this Texans offense with Davis Mills. They didn't really let him cut it loose on Thursday night. Having a little more time to prep, maybe that changes a bit. I know it's a big number. I'll take Vic's side on the Bills, but another game that I actually really don't want to play. Let's go Lions-Bears. This is the, kind of the theme of the week. These games are all like weirdly close, and I think you could argue both sides, and having a strong take is actually harder this week than it is most weeks. Zach, I'll start with you. The Bears are three-point home favorites for this divisional matchup, over-under sitting at 42.
Well, I was fortunate enough to see the Bears in person last week, and boy, was it bloody. So it may shock you. It shocked myself. I'm going to the Bears. I just don't think it can be any worse. I think after that happens, you look and you say, okay, first of all, the Lions don't have Myles Garrett, right? But secondly, like, we were poor in our execution. We were poor in our plan. We were poor in everything. I think when you look at a weak opponent like Detroit and a chance to bounce back, I think the Bears have some good players. I like David Montgomery. I like Allen Robinson. I like Darnell Mooney. And I think the Bears win this week.
I also like the Bears. My lean here is towards the over. I think the Lions have showed they can score some points. I think the Bears will score points no matter who's playing quarterback. I think the running game is not as bad as people think it is. So I like the over 42 in this one.
Yeah, I keep wondering if Allen Robinson can do it yet again in a bad situation. We've seen him do it many times before from an individual perspective. I don't want to bet against the talent there. He's been so good for so long. I think they can get this offense a little bit back on track. Clearly, Matt Nagy's job hanging the balance. I don't know if he could even save his own job, guys. I don't think there's a path for that to
happen.
Not
from what I saw last week, no.
If he does, it's because someone else is calling plays and they're making legitimate changes very quickly in Chicago. That Lions team, for as much as they lack talent, they play hard. I will give them that. The Dan Campbell, we're going to bite your kneecaps, that is real. And the Bears are in such disarray. I'll take the 3 points with the Lions. Another game I don't feel good about. Vic being on the over here, I think I'm with that, though. I think that makes a lot of sense based on the way this Lions offense has functioned at this point. They do have a few playmakers on that side of the ball that I can believe in. Let's go to a really good matchup. Let's go to Panthers at Cowboys. This is a great game, one that I think everyone's looking forward to in the early window. Cowboys, 4.5-point favorites at home. 51.5 is the over-under. And Vic, I think everyone's really high on the Cowboys right now. And this is more of a prove-it week for the Panthers, who are going to be without Christian McCaffrey in this matchup.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think the Panthers obviously have a great record, but I'm not buying all in that they're really that much improved. And the Cowboys, I can see the talent offensively and defensively. I get why they're winning games. So I think it's a good number at home, only 4.5. So I'm taking the Cowboys to win pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the Cowboys are more than a field goal. I'm going to take the Panthers because it's more than a field goal, but it's an interesting game for both teams. You have Dallas on a short week, and they have looked impressive in handling their business in various ways. And the Panthers obviously are impressive at 3-0, taking a big step up here in competition here and not having Christian McCaffrey. So I think Dallas wins, but I think they win it on a late field goal, and I take the Panthers to cover.
Is it Chuba or is it Chuba? I'm not even sure how to say it.
I believe it's Chuba.
Chuba, all right.
I watched a lot of bad Big 12 football, Vic, in my time.
That's good. it came in handy. It's good. It's not.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard, people love him from a fantasy perspective. I think we're going to see a little more Royce Freeman than we saw on Thursday. He's still so new to this system that breaking him in slowly makes a little bit of sense. No one player can handle the functions of Christian McCaffrey. No. Like, there's no reason to expect that. So even if Hubbard's the kind of guy that you do feel okay about as a temporary RB2, the Panthers do have to make some adjustments without McCaffrey, and making those adjustments against Dallas is going to be a lot more difficult than making those adjustments against Houston was in that Thursday night matchup, because Houston is pitiful, as we alluded to before. But I'm barely on the Cowboys side of this one. I am a Packer fan. You guys might not know that. So I've seen plenty of Mike McCarthy. I've seen plenty of Mike McCarthy teams fail to cover. I've seen plenty of Mike McCarthy teams underperform. I think he's got a really good situation here in Dallas right now, though, with the current state of that offense. So Cowboys barely covering is the side of this one that I've decided to take for this week. Let's get to the Colts at the Dolphins. Dolphins 2-point home favorites, over under sitting at 42 in that game. Which side of this one are you on, Zach?
I like the Dolphins. And it's more a play against the Colts, right? I know the Dolphins showed up last week and played that wild one in Vegas where they had the big lead early and then the wild scramble that ended up falling short. But you look at the Colts, they've struggled offensively. They've had guys in and out of the lineup on both sides. And going down to Miami, I'm in a close game here. It's not one that I'm jumping to bet, but having to pick the side here, I feel pretty strongly that the Dolphins end up winning.
Yeah, I agree. I have the Dolphins. I think that there's some value. I think Jacoby Brissett might be better than Tua. Some people think that's a loss for the Dolphins, but they actually may be better off with Jacoby in there. The one thing is, though, the Colts, it's the one team I can never get right. So I'm kind of anti-Colts in general. I think they're a little overrated, but if I pick on them, they win. If they lose, if I pick against them, they win. So I've never, ever, ever been right. So that's one thing to take note of here.
Well, we can go 3-for-3 on the Dolphins side. I would agree. So the way Tua's played in the NFL so far, the drop from Tua to Jacoby Brissett is small, if it is, in fact, a drop at all. Miami's one of those teams that, at least defensively, they seem to be well-coached. I know they got blown out 2 weeks ago now, but this is a good enough team to win a home game against the Colts team that has a banged-up quarterback. Quentin Nelson's hurt. I think that's a huge loss on the offensive line. They have not run the ball well anyway. The sequence in my mind is the sequence against the Rams. Jonathan Taylor just repeatedly inside the five, just running up the gut and getting nowhere. This Colts team, they're not the exceed expectations Colts of a couple seasons ago. They look like a possible underperformer week in and week out that are going to give us fits from a gambling and from a fantasy perspective.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's kick it on over to the Browns and Vikings. Browns 1.5-point favorites on the road, over under sitting at a nice 51 in that matchup. Which side of this one are you on, Vic?
We're going with the Browns. I think this, Cousins is playing great football, but I think the O-line is still a question mark for me. And the Browns, obviously, with all that pressure they bring, I think the D-line will definitely win the matchup there. I think the Browns defense will lead the way for the win outright and covering the spread.
Yeah, the line's about what I thought it would be. You know, I still don't fully trust the Browns' defense. I think last week was an outlier, right? So the line I really liked and looked for, couldn't find on Thursday when we recorded this, was Odell Beckham to go over his receiving yards total. I think it'll be in the 60s. But I still found one I like, and that's Justin Jefferson over. The Browns' secondary still trying to find a bunch of new guys, still trying to find its groove. I think the Vikings will have to throw. I think you are going to have to score a bunch of points to win this game. And I think it comes down to the last few minutes. So without picking a side, I feel confident that both Odell Beckham and Justin Jefferson go over their receiving yards totals.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings defense giving up 10.1 yards per attempt to opposing passers here early on this season. So it could be a huge day for Baker Mayfield. I do like the idea of finding a Beckham prop if you can get one. I thought he looked kind of like typical Beckham last week, which is a really good sign for that Browns offense, especially with Jarvis Landry down. I do not have a strong pull on the team side of this one. If you made me pick it, I would just take the Vikings because they're at home, but I think it could be a really fun shootout that we're excited about on Monday, regardless of how this one plays out. We get the Giants at the Saints. Saints 7.5-point favorites. Interesting that you guys each have this featured as one of your five favorites for this week, but you're on opposite sides. So, Vic, I'll kick it over to you first.
I like the Saints. I think the defense is underrated. I think they're definitely coaching to kind of minimize Jameis' impact on the game, which I think is very smart. And the Giants, I think, are a mess. The Giants are 0-3. Look at their schedule. probably 0-8 at some point. It's not an easy schedule the rest of the way. So I think at some point that's just going to fester, and I think they'll play against better teams. They'll probably crumble.
I just don't trust Jameis first, but I think there's a couple emotional things happening here. The Saints are coming home. I think they could easily be distracted. They were in week two when they had been on the road for so long. And I think the Giants, with all this controversy and Joe Judge and the way they've given away the last two games, I think they rally and keep it close. So I think the Saints win the game, but 7.5-8 is it's bounced around more than a touchdown. Certainly I've seen all week. I like the Giants to give their best effort here and end up losing by 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'm on the Giants side of this one, too. I think they're good enough to hang around. I think the Saints do have some issues maybe putting teams away. I would agree with Vic. I think this is a defense that people sleep on a little bit. Hopefully after what we saw in week one against Green Bay, people have a better sense of what this side can do that way. It's been, it seems like 3 or 4 years now they've consistently been among the league's 10 best defenses, but we always just think of them as a shootout-prone team. So they can give Daniel Jones and this Giants offense a little bit of trouble, but the Giants, plenty of weapons on that side of the ball. And I think just like Odell Beckham looked like previous levels of Beckham last week, Saquon Barkley looked like pre-knee injury Barkley. I think that's a really good sign for the Giants, at least keeping some games close. But Vic, you might be right. The schedule is absolutely brutal for the Giants in the next few weeks. Let's go to the Corey Davis revenge game. That would be the Titans on the road, 7-point favorites against the Jets. 44.5 is the over-under there. This is the other popular survivor pick, by the way, being on the Titans. And the difference in the spread there should be enough to give you an idea that the confidence level is probably higher than it ought to be in that Titans team right now. What do you like in this game, Zach?
I don't, first of all. but I think, you know, the Jets come home. They're banged up. They've obviously gotten beaten up. But the offensive line and the offense in general have struggled. They play really good defenses. The Titans are not a really good defense. So I'm just going to take the Jets to keep it within a touchdown. I think they'll lose at the end in heartbreaking fashion. That's what they do. But I think they will keep it within a touchdown.
Yeah, for me, you said the magic words. It's the Corey Davis revenge game. I think he's one of the most underrated receivers in the league. You mentioned the Titans defense is not very good. I think Zach, you know, Wilson will have to be a little better, but I think that number 52.5 is the over-under. I think it's a pretty easy over for my guy, Corey Davis.
It's a revenge game for Davis. Also, he needs to bounce back from the TikTok kids breakdown, you know, that ended with, and Corey Davis has no hops. Like, that was just the gravy on top of that video. If you don't know that that viral video, be sure to check that out. I think it's like 12-year-old kid breaking down a Jets play against the Patriots where literally everything went wrong and Zach Wilson threw a pick. I have a question for you guys about the Jets. Is there anything that they actually do well right now? Like, is there literally any aspect of that team that you think is better than average?
I mean, I don't hate the organization itself and the coach hire and what they're trying to do. I do hate trying to win with this bad offensive line and this rookie quarterback who's just he's not ready yet, right? And they said they're going to throw him right in. They made the choice, but the best team he played last year was Coastal Carolina, right? Like, he is not ready to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say the best thing for me is that I was the coaching. I like Sala. I think he'll be a good guy there, but in terms of talent, they're lacking. I agree with the scheme. May not be the best suited for their talent right now, but I think it's a good spot. I think the Titans probably are not as good as people think they are, so I think the number's somewhat attractive this week.
My advice, stay away from this game. I would lay the 7 points with the Titans. I think we're going to see Derrick Henry roll up like 35 carries, and the Jets just aren't going to have an answer to slow him down. But yeah, stay to the props on this one if you can. Let's go to the Chiefs-Eagles matchup. Chiefs 7-point road favorites, having lost back-to-back games. It seems impossible to me that they would lose 3 in a row, but you never know. The Eagles are one of those teams, guys. I don't feel like I have a good feel for how good they really are. They beat a terrible Falcons team in week one, lost a reasonably close game to San Francisco in week two, and looked outmatched by the Cowboys on Monday night in week three. So, Vic, what are you doing in this game?
Well, I'm kind of going with remember the movie Bad Lieutenant, where my guy bets on the Dodgers every game, and they lose, and he gets more and more. He doubles down every game, he gets more and more crazy and more. That's me. And the Chiefs are 2-12, I believe, against the spread the last 14 games. I've had a lot of those. I've been on the losing side a lot of those 12. So I'm like, you know what? Keep pushing. I'm pushing more on the Chiefs to cover the spread this week.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win, and I agree with Vic's thinking. I mean, all they do is win close games, right? They lost one last week, but it hasn't been covering touchdown spreads. I like Tyreek Hill to bounce back. I saw him in week one. He was awesome. And I can't explain, because I haven't watched the games closely the last 2 weeks, why he's been in the slump, but I think he breaks out in a big way here. 78.5 is the number I saw, and I think he can get that in one play, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's the thing about Tyreek Hill. He can score from anywhere on the field. It is kind of bizarre, a slow start for him so far. And again, relative to his own lofty expectations, 267 yards through three games. Anybody else would be really happy with that. Somehow we look at Tyreek Hill that way and say, hey, wait a minute. Most of that came in week one against the Browns. It's only been 70 yards on 8 catches the last 2 games from him. I'm on the Chiefs side of this one, too. It is weird. 2-12 against the spread in their last 14. I think Kansas City's defense can do enough to confuse the Philadelphia offense. I think they're still kind of finding their way on that side of the ball, and that's part of where my confidence comes from on the Kansas City side in this matchup. Let's go to the Cardinals and Rams, another great game on the week 4 slate. Rams 5-point favorites coming off that big win over Tampa Bay, over under sitting at 55. Zach, we will go to you first, since your bet from this game is all over that number.
Yeah, I mean, hangover city for the Rams, right? And Cardinals coming back from really a lazy game themselves all the way across the country where they won because the Jaguars just stink. I like the over. I like both offenses here. I like both coaches and quarterbacks here. So I just think it gets wild, and I think it takes 30 to win. Maybe 35, and I'll take the over 55.
Well, this is from my guy Beller, who's been yelling about the Cardinals for the last year and a half nonstop. So in his absence, I'll take the Cardinals. I think it's a good spot for him, like you mentioned. It's definitely a hangover. The Rams beat the Buccaneers. It's a huge, like, you know, set the standard kind of game, new culture, and, you know, the whole. I just think they might be a little, not flat, but a little down a notch against the Cardinals. They know very well. So I like the points. I'll take the 5 and roll with Kyler Murray.
The thing I'm really not sure of with the Cardinals is how good the defense really is. Like, the schedule's been a little soft for them. And I was sweating at halftime of that Cardinals-Jags game. The Cards were my survivor pick last week, and I thought, oh, this is brewing up to be the survivor disaster that I didn't want. Obviously, they turned things around in the second half, opened up in the fourth quarter, and things were fine. Is the Cardinals defense going to finish this year as a top 10 defense? I mean, is that an unrealistic expectation for this unit?
Yeah, I think it is. But, you know, if you look at it, the offense keeps humming the way it is and gives them chances. They do have Chandler Jones. They have guys that can make plays. I think they can get exposed at the back, though, and I think that happens this week. That's why I'm on the over.
Yeah, I think the over is probably the most fun bet of the week as I look at different options here. Love this matchup. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I'm on the Rams side, but it's kind of in that I don't feel great about it. I think you guys might be right pointing out the possible letdown factor here with that big win over Tampa Bay last week. Let's keep moving through this late block. Let's go to an NFC West battle. Seattle on the road in San Francisco. Niners 3-point favorites after a crushing loss on Sunday night against the Packers. 51.5 is the over-under here. Vic, let's go to you first. What do you like in this game?
Well, I've been big on the Niners all year long before the year. Like, I thought they were my Super Bowl pick. I thought they were loaded. No way injuries could hurt them again as badly as they hurt them last year, but here we are. They got no cornerbacks left. They got, you know, they're down to their fifth string running back last couple weeks ago. So I think that's they definitely got some issues injury wise. I think the Seahawks are in a good spot. So I'm gonna roll. I'm gonna jump off my Niners bandwagon and go against them and go with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm with Vic on all fronts here. I'm picking the Seahawks, and I was high on the Niners preseason, but you know, the Seahawks defense is really shaky, but I think the Niners have been shaky on both sides. I'm not sure Seattle's going to need the points here, but I'm certainly taking them for this pick.
Do you guys both think Seattle might actually win this outright?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I keep looking at San Francisco. I wonder when they're going to make the switch to Trey Lance. It seems like it's inevitable. And Garoppolo's not horrible. He's just not quite good enough. He's bad enough to put them right in that spot where, well, we've got the next guy. The temptation to make the switch has to be there. I'm on the Seattle side of this one, too. I know Russell Wilson hasn't played all that well in San Francisco over the course of his career. I don't care. He's good. Russell Wilson's really, really good. And yeah, San Francisco's defense hasn't looked as sharp as I would have expected coming into the season either. But definitely looking forward to that game as part of this late window. Let's keep on rolling to the Ravens and Broncos. Broncos 1-point favorites at home. 44.5 is the over-under there. Kind of a prove it week for Denver too. I would say Denver and Carolina are the two teams where we're both kind of look at them and saying, hey, are they really this good? This should be a pretty good test. What do you think about this matchup, Zach?
Yeah, you know, I've seen both teams as favorites at different points during the week, and that doesn't surprise me. But I ultimately lean Denver. They're the second straight at home. The Ravens are second straight on the road. I know Lamar Jackson's kind of beat up early in the season. The Ravens are still kind of figuring things out offensive line-wise in the secondary. So Denver has a ton to prove. There's no doubt that they've beaten nobody, right? That's right there in front of us. But I think they have a chance to get a big win this week.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I think Denver is, like you said, haven't really proved much yet. They probably know that they've heard that noise probably, but they're in a good spot. They're home against the Ravens team has been up and down all year long. Kind of a lot of question marks. Lamar Jackson banged up. Marquise Brown can't hold on to the ball in the end zone. So I think the Broncos are in a good spot. I think it's a little trappy of a number. I like it. Laying the points against the Ravens, laying the 1 point, but I'm going with the Broncos.
I'm on an island with the Ravens. They should be a little healthier after dealing with some COVID stuff last week. And I think that scare in Detroit might wake them up a little bit. They may have been looking past the Lions, looking ahead to a matchup like this. And hopefully, for my sake, I am right about that. Not a strong pick, not something I'd put in my five favorites, not a game I would necessarily have to or go out of my way to pick if I didn't have to pick each and every game. Let's go to the Steelers and Packers, a banged up Pittsburgh team on the road in Green Bay. Packers sitting at a 6.5 point favorite right now, 45.5. Is the over-under in this game. What do you like in this matchup, Vic?
I'd like the turnaround. I think, look back after week one, everyone was talking about, oh, Aaron Rodgers is terrible. What happened to him? Big Ben beat the Bills out. And 2 weeks later, it's the opposite. Rodgers is God again, and Big Ben is being called on every freaking talk show in America how bad he is. He's got to quit now. I got to retire today. You can't. Don't keep playing. Get lost now. So I'm taking the points. It's 6.5. I think both teams are kind of, you know, overrated / underrated. It's probably closer in talent than people think it is. So I'll take the 6.5 and have some fun.
You know, history says Mike Tomlin and the Steelers bounce back in this spot, but I think Ben's history. I really do. It was so bad last week. I went back and watched the game. I know they didn't have guys on defense, but I just can't pick Pittsburgh to bounce back. I think week one, that win in Buffalo, is going to prove to be like the aberration of the whole year. I think the Steelers are going to keep reeling, and I just couldn't pick them in this spot. It's not a game I love because I'm a little hesitant, but man, I couldn't pick against the Green Bay on this spot.
I thought the line should be closer to 5, and based on that, I should be on the Steelers. A lot of this is going to hinge on what happens on Friday with the injuries. We, of course, don't know. We're recording this late Thursday afternoon. But Deontay Johnson did log a full practice on Thursday. TJ Watt was already back on the practice field earlier in the week, too. So if they're a little healthier in the passing game, and if they have TJ Watt out there, I could see it being kind of a defensive and special teams effort that keeps Pittsburgh hanging around longer than they should. I share your guys' concerns about Ben Roethlisberger. He looks done to me. We went through this with Eli Manning a couple of years ago. I think the problem for the Steelers is they don't have their next franchise quarterback on the roster, so there's no incentive to go ahead and start the next era. And I think the other problem they have, the offensive line has been just brutal, so I'm really curious to see if they can give Ben enough time to even dump the ball off to Najee Harris a dozen times like they did last week. I mean, that was a really bizarre twist that I didn't see coming from this Pittsburgh offense. So all that is a long way of saying if all of those key players are healthy, I'd be on the Steelers side of this one. I just want to make sure we know those guys are going to play before committing one way or the other. Let's go to the Bucs-Patriots matchup. No one's talking about that game. Tampa Bay, a 7-point favorite, going on the road to New England. Of course, Tom Brady's first trip back, and of course, the first time he's ever played against Bill Belichick. That's going to be thrown in our face for 4 hours on Sunday night. 49 is the over-under total. What are we doing with this game? Because there's so many fun ways you could go, even just being on one side or the other. Like I think it's kind of boring. I'm on the Tampa Bay side. I think the Bucs are going to roll. 7 doesn't seem like enough. I think they're going to win by double digits. So I'm happy to lay 7 points here. But what else do you guys like about this game? I'll start with you, Vic.
Well, you know, we're talking about Tom Brady's big return. What about Gronk? This is Gronk's big return. And I think things I'm sure about in this game is Tom Brady, his checklist, going to win the game. Going to hug Bob Kraft at some point and get, you know, talk to Belichick, but he's going to feed Gronk at some point. You know, you know, this is also a big day for Gronk. He'll give him the ball if they're up big or not, but I think 39.5 is a number. I like the over on receiving yards for Gronkowski.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think 7's enough either, Derek. I really don't, but I hesitate in seeing that. I saw 6.5, 7 early in the week. I'm going under in the first quarter. I think emotions are going to be high. I think Belichick's going to have his absolute best defensive plan and absolute most conservative offensive plan. He does not want to get a shootout in this game. So I'm going to hope that it's 3-0 one way or the other after the first quarter. I think 9.5. I feel pretty confident about it. It's one of my favorite bets of the week.
9.5, that sounds tough, man. 9.5 is a tough number.
Oh, these are awful bets, Vic. They're awful, but man, you got to sweat through.
like 7-3, you're like throwing things around the house. Like, no!
Yes. That's funny. Zach, almost like you've been to my house.
Zach, you are literally rooting for the Patriots to get the ball first and Damian Harris to get a dozen carries and get like 3.6 yards per carry on every single one of them. That's pretty much what you're betting on.
Yeah. You root for fumbles, you root for fourth down conversions, or you root for, you know, get between the 40s and punt.
Or missed field goal, you're going crazy. You're like, yes.
long drive, missed field goal, like a missed short field goal, too. So the field's long right. When the team gets the ball back. That's exactly what you want if you're going to follow Zach on this one. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the props, the receiving props in this game. I mean, here's my concern. The Patriots are not built at all for a shootout with anyone. I think the games they're going to win this year are against first-year quarterbacks, first-year head coaches, and the coaches who are going to get fired. That's it. Those are the games the Patriots are going to win. They'll go like 6-10 or 6-11 or 7-10. It's so weird doing math for a 17-game schedule. They're going to win 6 or 7 games because of teams like that, because they'll be better than those teams. They'll be more prepared than those teams. But against any team that doesn't meet those criteria, how are they going to win if they fall behind? It seems impossible.
I agree. They have a certain way they want to play, and that's why they went with Mac Jones, right? So their only hope in this game is 1916, is forcing turnovers, right, is winning field position and things like that. So, you know, obviously Belichick knows what he's doing. He probably doesn't have the personnel to do it for 4 quarters. I'm going to count on him doing it for 1.
Yeah. Going to be a game that we're going to have a lot of fun watching just to see how the chess match actually plays out in this case. Let's go to the Monday night game. Raiders on the road against the Chargers. I think we all like the Chargers in this one, but you guys are on opposite sides of the 52.5 total. So, Zach, you're on the over. Why do you think this game goes over?
Because I think it's Monday night. I think it's time to air it out, right? I just love Justin Herbert. And he can rip it, and they can score at any time. I think their week 2 game against the Cowboys was a complete aberration with the penalties and the missed field goals. They'll be excited to be on the national stage. There might be a little hangover from last week, but I think the Raiders pop a couple, and I think Justin Herbert pops one more. The over was one of the first ones I circled in looking at this whole board.
I'm going the other way because I thought it was a big number, obviously, I mean, for good reason. But I'm a big believer in the Raiders' D-line. They have like 8 guys that are rotating out, in and out, and they're all playing well, led by Max Crosby and Ngakoue. I think they're going to be a factor in this game, kind of slow down the Chargers a little bit. Their offense is good, but I'm not sure Josh Jacobs is going to play. Peyton Barber, I mean, I think their offense won't be as good as it has been the last 3 weeks. So I like the under. I think it's too big a number.
Yeah, I'm really having a hard time buying into Derek Carr being this good. I think as good as he was last year, as good as he was in 2019 in terms of efficiency, I can live with a Derek Carr that's that good. I don't know if I can live with Derek Carr being good enough to guide a team like this to the Super Bowl. Like, am I wrong for still questioning Derek Carr, Vic?
It's a good question, man. His own fan base is divided, like half, you know, love him, half hate him. I think I give him credit because in the past, you know, they've had injuries on the offensive line this year and also a running back. In the past, that'd be enough to kind of make him go down a notch, kind of, you know, check down a little bit, avoid sacks, kind of go into a little shell. But this year, he's definitely not. He's definitely taking chances more than he has in the past. I think that's been good for him. So I don't know about Super Bowl, but they definitely can be a playoff team with this offense. And the defense is, like I said, no longer lousy. So that's all they had to do is just be average on defense, and they're going to be in good shape.
Vic, let me jump in and ask you this, because we've had this discussion here in Cleveland.
Okay.
Don't you think if Derek Carr had Baker Mayfield's offensive system and offensive weapons that he'd put up the same numbers or even better than Baker does?
Yeah, I probably do agree with that. I think like the narrative's been wrong the last few years. The narrative's been like the Raiders got to move on from Derek Carr. I've been like, Derek Carr's got to move on from the Raiders. So Derek Carr needs like a new, seeing a bunch of guys around, new defense and better coaching and better drafting guys. But this year they seem to be on the same page. Done a good job as far as the guys they brought in on defense. And I think the young guys, Ruggs and Edwards, have both taken steps up. That's been huge for them. So they're legit. They're a good team.
Yeah, it's a good mix of weapons there, and I think getting Josh Jacobs eventually healthy makes the running game better once that happens, too. Give me Josh Jacobs over Peyton Barber all day. I hope everybody's still on board with that. There was a lot of, fading of Josh Jacobs in the fantasy community during draft season. He slipped a bit more than he probably should have. The weird thing about it is Kenyon Drake didn't take over the backfield when Josh Jacobs got hurt. That was the surprise here. I'm really surprised they're as fascinated with Barber as they are, given the amount of money they gave to Drake.
Yeah, you would think you give a guy $11 million for 2 years, you're going to play him if the first guy gets hurt. But what they found is that Drake is not great at running the ball inside. He's not great at pass blocking. So he's kind of down to just catching the ball out of the backfield. Barber does the other two things better than he does. So it wasn't by design. I mean, Peyton Barber, they got him off the practice squad from Washington about a month ago. But he's made a nice impression, and he's definitely played better in situations than Drake has.
Yeah, a non-gambling question. Is this the best late window we've had in, like, a decade? The late afternoon games. Cardinals,
good.
Rams, Seahawks, Niners, Ravens, Broncos, Steelers, Packers. Like, usually there's one really good game. That's the game of the week. And maybe one other decent one. And the other two games are just garbage in the late window. Those are four games that everyone's actually going to want to watch.
That's true, because the opening window is kind of tough. We're talking about the morning window. There's a lot of games like, the Falcons and Washington. But
yeah,
you're right. The last window is pretty nice.
Yeah, Panthers-Cowboys is the early game that everyone's going to want to watch. I'd say Browns-Vikings, maybe taking the silver medal there. But everything else, well, Chiefs-Eagles is pretty good too. Everything else kind of loaded up later.
It's a good day. Yeah, it's a good day. I like a lot of overs. I really do. I think it's going to be a fun TV watching day for everybody at home.
Quick recap of our five favorites before we go. Zach is on Justin Jefferson over 80.5 yards. Tyreek Hill over 78.5 yards. The Giants getting 7.5 in New Orleans. Seattle getting 3 in San Francisco. And the over in that Monday night matchup between the Chargers and Raiders currently at 52.5. Vic is on the Bears-Lions going over 42.5. The Cowboys covering that 4.5-point spread against the Panthers. The Saints covering the 7.5-point spread against the Giants. The Browns covering the 1.5-point spread on the road in Minnesota. And Rob Gronkowski going over 39.5 yards. It should be a fun betting day and a fun DFS day, too. We'll break down the DFS slate on our next episode on Friday afternoon. Before we go, I'll let you know you should follow Vic on Twitter at Vic Tafer. You can find Zach on Twitter at Akron Jackson. I am at Derek Van Riper. That is going to wrap things up for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck in week 4.
Adios.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.